Blog Talk Radio.
You know, church has become so commercial until we have gotten away from its true purpose. It has become such big business until we allow people to operate and function as long as they have something to bring to the table. People are now more concerned about recording and living in light of the rich and famous rather than knowing Jesus. For the true purpose of the church is soul business, not big business. I don't know about you, but I would rather have nothing and know Jesus than to have everything and not know Him. You need to confess Him today.
Good evening. Thank you for tuning into the Light of Portland broadcast with Pastor Kimberly Black from Greater St. Stephen Missionary Baptist Church in Portland, Oregon. Do you know Jesus? Did you know He could live in your heart if you invite Him in? After the next song you hear, prepare to be blessed of the Lord. Prepare for a move of Holy Spirit. Prepare to know Jesus in your heart.
We will worship forever and ever. Amen. That was Bishop William Murphy III. Amen. Truly thankful to God for inspiring us with his music to help us to worship and to praise and to magnify and lift up the name of our Lord, our Savior. Amen. Well, good evening, good evening, good evening to the Light of Portland audience, to our family, to all of our brothers and sisters who have called in to worship with us on tonight. We truly thank God for each of you taking out the time to come and worship with us. We are in store for a treat on tonight. We are just truly thankful to God for this opportunity to share the word of God. You have allowed us to come into your home, to chill with you in the living room, or hang out with you in the dining room, or recline and relax with you in the bedroom, wherever you are in your home. We are there with you. But most importantly, you have an audience of one that's in that space with you, and that's our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so I hope you just lift up your hands right now where you are and say, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we love you. Lord, we give you praise. Amen. We want to honor tonight, and we thank God for those that have joined us or that we have joined in the work of the ministry when it comes down to sharing this platform with all of you. We want to thank God for the Butterfields who have made it possible for us to come into your space every Sunday night at 8 o'clock to worship the Lord, to praise the Lord, to pray, to touch and agree together, and then to hear a word of God. Amen. We have truly been blessed all year with some anointed preaching, anointed prayers, and we're going to get back on the schedule. Maybe you say, I want to pray. Email me. If you want to pray, send me an email. If you want to be our guest and you want to pray, open us up in prayer, send me an email. My email address is gssmbc@yahoo.com. So we thank God for the Butterfields for sharing this platform with us, and we don't mind sharing it with others. Amen. We thank God for our sister, our friend, Pastor Sherelle Pennington, who started all of this off for us, and then she said, Pastor Black, I got to go. Blog Talk Radio, The Light of Portland, it is yours. And so we thank God for her work that she has done to set all this up for us. Amen. We don't do nothing but log in every Sunday. All the speakers have been selected a year in advance. Thank you, Pastor Sherelle, for making the work easy. That's what a leader does, y'all, makes the work easy so that those that follow can follow the vision that has been laid out. So we thank God for Pastor Sherelle, my sister, and to Archbishop Ruth, amen, for covering us, for praying for us, and always giving a word of encouragement. So we thank God for her and the work of her hands, all that God has assigned to her life, and to all of those clergymen that are on the line, all of our speakers that may be on the line. We just want to thank God for you tonight joining us. I said last week, I get excited when preachers show up to support other preachers. You don't always have to be the one to preach. Every now and then you need to get a word, preachers. Amen. I'm talking to the preachers tonight. You need a word every now and then. And it's just good to be able to sit down and get some good word. Amen. Not just to get another sermon, but to allow the Spirit of the Lord to speak to you where you are, to speak to your current situation, to speak to your current storm, your test, to speak to your faith, to help you to elevate your expectations. So I'm just thankful to God that you all are on the line today and that you chose to worship with us, to be of support to our speaker tonight, Elder Dante Farmer. He's no stranger to the Light of Portland. He is a member of the Greater St. Stephen Missionary Baptist Church, where he serves as an elder. He oversees our evangelism and our new members class. And I want you all to know, before this pandemic hit, we were running strong with our new members. And since we've been in the pandemic, we are running strong with our outreach. Corona ain't stopped us, y'all. Come on now. And I know it hasn't stopped many of you. I've seen some of your Facebook postings, and I've talked to some of you, and I've seen some of the work that God has blessed your hands to do. And we just thank God for each of you and for the work that you all are doing in your city here in Portland and in Atlanta and Washington, California, and Texas. We are truly grateful to God for all the work that you are doing. Amen. Tonight, we just want to share with you some information, and I know that you're probably tired of hearing it, but we are living in such a time as this that the body of Christ needs to get up to speed, and we need to do what we have been commissioned and commanded to do. We are getting ready to vote, and we know that September was the voter registration time, and we want to make sure National Voter Registration Day is September 29th, and we want to make sure that we are there to vote. We know that the first presidential debate will take place on Tuesday, October the 7th. Amen. And then we also want to be mindful of that. If you need information or you want to share information with your church or with your family about voting, there is a website. It's Vote Save America. VoteSaveAmerica.com. That's VoteSaveAmerica.com. It's a one-stop shop to get all your voting information. It goes by state, and then it just gives you information. It tells you how you can get involved. It tells you a little bit about the candidates, who's running. So the Bible tells us in all our getting to get a good understanding. It just wasn't about get a good understanding about the Bible. It was get a good understanding about money, about health, about your temple of God, how you're supposed to eat and keep yourself from having diabetes and high blood pressure. And come on, somebody, how we're supposed to take care of ourselves and how we're supposed to love each other and how we're supposed to forgive. He said, in all thy getting, get a good understanding. And we know that the power of knowledge is so prevalent for us as African-American people. It's important. It's important that we stand up as a people today. I'm not talking about black people or white people. I'm talking about as a people, as the body of Christ. It is important that we stand up. And it's really important that we stand up now during these last and evil days. Our current president, the more and more we hear about him before all of this comes to pass, more and stuff will be revealed about him, stuff that we already knew, but they're choosing to talk about it now. The best thing we need to do is pray. The best thing we need to do is pray. It's too late to be murmuring and complaining about it. He's been in office for 4 years. It's time to pray, and it's time to vote. And so I want to encourage you to talk about this with your young people. Talk about it among your family and your friends so that no one is ignorant of the facts of what we need to do to help move our country to the next level. So we want to get ready. The deadline to register to vote is on the 13th of October. So we want to do that. We also want to pray for our nation. We are in such an unrested time. The Bible tells us that in the last days we will experience wars and there will be rumors of wars. When you turn on the news and you have people fighting in your seat, your streets of downtown where you live, and they're burning up stuff, those are wars because they're fighting against each other. And so we're living in this time. We're living in the last days, and it's time. It is so time that the body of Christ come together and pray and seek God's face. Amen. With that being said, we're ready now to go to the throne of grace so that we can get out the way and give our speaker tonight, Elder Dante Farmer, some time to come before us and to share the word with us on tonight. He preached this morning to the church family, and so I know that he has a word for us tonight, a Light of Portland family. So I just want you to get ready. to receive a word from the Lord. Amen. Because truly God is in the blessing business. And we're just thankful, so grateful to God for allowing us this opportunity. So tonight we want to pray. And we want to pray for all of our cities. We want to pray for our mayors and our governors. We want to pray for the first responders, the doctors. We want to pray for our city officials, the policemen, the fire department. We want to pray for the teachers and the principals and the parents that are homeschooling their children. Our prayer list is long, y'all. We want to pray for those that are sick and shut in, those who have been without jobs since March and can't find a job. We want to pray for them. Those who are facing evictions, those who are trying to find new residents to live, those who are preparing to have a surgery in the next couple of days, next couple of weeks. We want to keep them lifted up in prayer. We also want to pray for our candidates that are running for the president and the vice president of the United States. Want to pray for the Republicans and the Democrats that they do what's godly, do what's justly, do what's mercifully, that they would adhere to Micah, the 6 and 8, and that they would honor the word of God and that they would seek first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness. And the Bible says all these things will be added unto them. And so that's what we want tonight. That's what we want tonight. We want that to take place in our nation. If you have names that you want to pray for, this is your opportunity to speak them aloud right there in your home. If you want to email me those names so that we can have those names to pray, again, my email address is gssmbc@yahoo.com. We would love to call out those names. We would love to bombard heaven with those names. Pray for your pastor. Amen. Pray for your pastor. I said last week, and I want to say this again, that October is National Clergy Appreciation Month. And it's really nice when I receive cards and gifts from the church family all out the blue. It's encouraging. The work that we do as pastor, I know that the reward does not come from anyone here that's on earth. The reward is so much greater. But because this life of serving and living as pastor, sometimes it's lonely, sometimes it's hard. Every now and then a flower or a card or some smell good just encourages you and it just lifts you up. And we are to be encouragers one to another. So I can't wait because I'm going to bless my spiritual leaders. This year I saw something that came in the mail probably about August. And I kept saying, I'm going to hold on to this book because when October comes, I'm going to bless my spiritual leaders this year. I'm going to just shower them with love because I just appreciate them for speaking into my life and covering me and leading me and guiding me. And so I just want them to know that I love them. So we pray for them daily. But remember, October has been set aside as a national day to honor our clergymen. Write a letter, send a card, send a gift. You all know that preachers love to eat. I don't care, male or female. They love to eat Applebee's and Denny's and Red Lobster and the Olive Garden, all those places all across the country. And maybe your pastor has a favorite restaurant, you know. So just think about it. Just remember that they, during this pandemic, it's been hard to pastor because we cannot pastor the way that we were pastoring in 2019. We had to come up with some new techniques and some new strategies. And the way we used to preach just wasn't good enough. We had to change the way we was preaching. So I want you to stop and think about it as we're preparing to go into October. Just how can you be a blessing to your man or your woman of God? Well, I've said enough. I've done enough talking. I want us to go to the Lord in prayer. Pastor Sherelle, are you on the line tonight? If you're on the line, can you press 1 so we can hear your voice and bring you on so that you can pray with us tonight? We need to hear your voice. It's been a while. Amen. Amen. My sister, amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Gracious and Heavenly Father, we just want to give you glory, honor, and praise. I thank you so much for the Light of Portland broadcast, Father. I thank you so much for Pastor Kimberly K. Black, Lord God. I pray blessings, grace, mercy, and favor over her life for taking on this project and making sure that she's making a difference and an impact in the city of Portland and throughout the U.S. and even so much as into Africa, Lord. And so I just am grateful that we can share together, that we can still put conferences together, that we can still work together, even though we're now in two different places. I give glory and honor for her tonight, Lord God. And then I just pray for every listener that is tuned in to the Light of Portland broadcast. I pray a blessing of favor on their lives, Father. I pray, Lord, that you would give them the excitement that would allow them to just talk to their friends and their families and tell them about the Light of Portland broadcast and how it is making a difference and making an impact and helping those that need an encouraging word. And I pray, Lord God, that you would allow it, oh God, to just bombard heaven with the greatness of what's happening through the Light of Portland broadcast. I pray, Lord God, that you continue, oh God, to bless and cover it and keep it and those attached to it, Lord God. We know that this is church for some people, that this is their church home, Father. And so we pray for each and every one of those that tune in every Sunday evening without fail. I pray blessings in their life as well. I pray, Lord God, that every need will be met tonight through the word of God. I pray, Lord God, that your hedge of protection would be around us. I pray for our country. I pray, Lord God, that the power and the grace, the mercy and the favor of God would rest, rule, and abide on each and every one of us, both now and forevermore. I pray, Lord God, from Elder Dante Farmer, use him in a mighty way tonight, oh God. Just let the flow of water from his belly just begin to well up and overflow, that it would be a word that even surprises him that comes forth tonight, Lord. Let it just be a powerful and impactful word tonight. Lord, I love you so much. I honor you today, and I give you all glory, all honor, and all praise. In the name of Christ Jesus, we pray this evening. Hallelujah and amen.
Spoke a word, you were singing over me. You have been so, so good to me. Before I took a breath, you breathed your life in me. You have been so, so kind to me. I felt no worth, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. No shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me.
To be on this broadcast this evening. First and foremost, giving thanks to God through Jesus Christ, to the Butterfields, to Pastor Sherrell, and most definitely to Pastor Black. Thank you for this opportunity. Tonight's lesson will be coming from the book of Philemon, verses 1-22. Oh, Heavenly Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, may you humble me at this point in time, O Heavenly Father. Strengthen me, O Heavenly Father. Give me the words that I am to speak, O Heavenly Father. Lead me and guide me, O Heavenly Father, and let your will be done. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. The book of Philemon is something I believe that is deep and something that sometimes get overlooked. Tonight, I want to look at this as what it is. The prison letter. Yes, this is a letter that the Apostle Paul who wrote when he was incarcerated. Yeah, we're talking about prison ministry here. Someone that was standing firm on the gospel even in the midst of tough situations. Somebody might be asking, preacher, what is a prison letter? I'm pretty sure we have some family members and loved ones or those that we might know that have been incarcerated, but just because people are incarcerated don't mean that people can't change. It don't mean that they're not being influenced by the gospel and that God isn't still at work. The prison letter, we're talking about Paul, the experience that he was going through on behalf of the kingdom, how he was a prisoner for Christ Jesus. Yeah, the prison letter, Paul, even in the midst of darkness and hunger and, you know, other inmates around him and yelling and complaining and watching the harsh brutality that was going on from some of the officers. Yeah, but in the midst of it, Paul had peace. Yeah, in the midst of it, Paul was able to still keep focused and still keep hope alive and keep his faith. Yeah, even in the midst of it, Paul was able to focus on what the Lord was directing him and how God was still in control in the midst of the situation. So Paul was still able, in the midst of this, to pen this letter. Yeah, to pen this letter to a dear friend named Philemon. Yeah, Philemon was a believer in Christ Jesus. Yeah, Philemon was from Laodicea area, where the book of Colossians is written about, the same distance as Portland is to Salem. That's how close it was. And so before Paul had got imprisoned, you know, Paul was going into these areas, Asia Minor, and he was preaching the gospel. And while he was in Ephesus, you know, that's how, you know, Philemon was able to hear the word, but it was through one of his fellow co-workers. Yeah, it was one through his fellow co-workers, Epaphras, who was a native of Colossae. And so, therefore, he went back and delivered the message. Yeah, he went back and delivered the message into this area to where Philemon now became a believer. So we talk about faithfulness and how strong Paul's ministry was before he was incarcerated and also while in incarceration. And so here it is. Paul runs into a young man named Onesimus. Yeah, there's three characters here: Paul, Onesimus, and Philemon. But I want to dig into this prison letter, and so we can really get deep down on how powerful the gospel message is, and how it can break down strongholds, and how it can reform systems, and how through Christ, you know, that those bondages and those chains of slavery could be broken in order for everything, the foundation, to be built up in love. Yeah, let's get into this letter. Let's get into this letter. Starting with verse 1. Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved fellow worker, and Apphia, our sister, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and the church in your house. Grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and of the faith that you have toward the Lord Jesus and all for all the saints. And I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. For I had derived much joy and comfort from your love, my brother, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you. Accordingly, though I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do what is required, yet for love's sake, I prefer to appeal to you. I, Paul, an old man and now a prisoner also, for Christ Jesus, I appeal to you for my child, Onesimus, whose father I became in my imprisonment. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful to you and to me. I am sending him back to you, sending my very heart. I have been glad to keep him with me in order that he might serve me on your behalf during my imprisonment for the gospel. But I prefer to do nothing without your consent in order that your goodness might not be by compulsion, but of your own accord. For this perhaps is why he was parted from you for a while, that you might have him back forever. No longer as a bondservant, but more than a bondservant, as a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. So if you consider me your partner, receive him as you would receive me. If he has wronged you at all or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, write this with my own hand. I will repay it, to say nothing of you owing me even your own self. Yes, brother, I want some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. At the same time, prepare a guest room for me, for I am hoping that through your prayers, I will be graciously given to you. May God add a blessing to the reader, doers, and hearers of his holy word. So here it is. We have this prison letter from a prisoner. But this prisoner is well known as a prisoner for Christ Jesus, the Apostle Paul. So here it is, in the midst of his incarceration, You know, we constantly see it through the book of Acts and Galatians and even through Romans about Paul's ministry and his many encounters and what it is that Paul was doing on the inside. But here it is, we have Onesimus and we have Philemon. Philemon was a slave owner. Let's think about these Roman Greco times and how in that particular time it was looked upon as an occupation. You get a doctor, you might get a teacher, you might get a lawyer, but this is the one that everybody answers to. But in the midst of this some time, Philemon had heard the gospel. And so now he's the elder of the church. So that means in time, Philemon's heart through the gospel has changed, but there were still issues that needed to be dealt with. Here it is, Paul the prisoner comes across this Onesimus. And I'm pretty sure, you know, we still, prisoners that's locked up, we still hear everything that's going on. Oh, so-and-so to move on over here down to Texas or so-and-so and went across, you know what I mean, to go over here to Europe. And so Paul is hearing this ministry that Philemon was had and how he was refreshed by the brothers reporting like, yeah, Philemon, this is what he's doing. You know, they got a church in their house and they preaching, you know what I mean, and souls is being saved. But here it is, Paul runs into Onesimus. No telling what it was Onesimus might have been going through. From the reports, from the observation, it looks like, you know, Philemon might have looked at Onesimus as useless. He probably had a past. On his journey, he probably stole from his master in order to continue on his trip. There's no telling what was the circumstance on, well, what did Onesimus do? What did he steal? Why did he go to prison? We don't know. We don't know what Onesimus' background was, but we know that his name means useful. Yeah, he might have been inexperienced, and he might have been, you know, a little young, a little wet behind the ears, but even though a young Onesimus might have been seen useless to others, Onesimus knows he had a purpose. Yeah, sometimes it takes trials and tribulations for us to go through to recognize what that purpose is. So here it is, Onesimus. He goes on a run. This is like if anybody on parole or anything that know anything about it, you don't want to report, you go AWOL, or you supposed to show up at work and you don't even show up, call in or nothing, you just, I quit, I'm gone. There you go, Onesimus is on the run. And that run, that long run, led him to where Paul was. Yeah. You know, Paul was sitting there a few years, you know, while he was waiting trial. Remember what he went through in the book of Acts and, you know, how he appealed to Caesar. And so Paul's still waiting trial. But in the midst of this, while Paul's got his own things going on, Paul is focusing on what is the Lord having me do? Why wait for him to reveal to me his purpose? And so this is Paul being obedient. He hears the story about Onesimus and Philemon and what led him to get there and everything. But in the midst of that, Onesimus heard the gospel. Yeah, he heard the good news. But he heard it from somebody that was genuine, that was authentic. He's heard about Paul. He's heard about the ministry. He's heard about how he was when he was Saul and how he used to be a persecutor of the church. But in Paul, he seen the Spirit of the Lord moving through that prison ministry. So here it is, Onesimus now is being released from prison. You know, he done did his time. And it's time to go home. And Onesimus, Case, and like some, where do I go? Some don't have nowhere to go to. But here it is, through the ministry, the prison ministry, Paul sends him this letter. I want you to tell him about this ministry. But before you tell him anything, when you go knock on this man's door, I'm going to send you back to him. But before you say anything to him, you give him this letter. You tell him to read this letter first. And then you tell him what the Lord been doing. So here it is. Onesimus is released. I know he probably has some fears, like, are people going to look at me differently? Are people on my head? Or am I being hunted? Do I got to worry about retaliation? But instead of letting fear set in, he stayed faithful to the mission. I got to deliver this letter. I got to deliver this letter. I got to get there. So I can imagine him upon him returning back into town, you know, been whispering, chattering, and spreading. I'm pretty sure Philemon, you know what I mean, is hearing all the news. But it creates a situation now. I know stirring inside of you, Philemon, I know this one. We got some past dealings. It ain't always looking. The last time we seen each other, he done took from me. But here it is. Also, he knowing. I know what the words say. Yeah, I know the Lord say to forgive. And I done forgave a lot. But this one is personal. He took something that was a prized possession. Lord, I don't know how I'm going to let this one go. Help me with it. And I'm pretty sure once Onesimus got closer to the house, he's probably thinking two things. This could go either way. This could be the all good or this could be all bad. But I got to deliver this letter. He's walking closer to the house. Don't even have the chance to knock on the door because here it is. Philemon is waiting for him on the porch. Philemon could have been thinking, okay, here he comes. This good for nothing, this useless. Here comes Onesimus again. I'm wondering what trick he got up his sleeve now and what he getting ready to say to me. But Onesimus, remember what Paul said. Just give him the letter. So I can imagine when he handed that letter out, probably what Philemon was thinking, what is this he's trying to get me? What is this? Let me go ahead and see what this is. And this ain't like him to be passing me no mail or nothing. Let me see what this letter is talking about. And then he opens up the letter. And he sees that it's personally addressed to him from his dear friend Paul in prison. You know, Paul opens up the letter with a warm address. He lets him know, you know, who's all in there with him, what's going on. And then he, you know what I mean, related back to him, yeah, I hear you doing good out there. I hear all this is, you know what I mean, going on, you know what I mean, the church is jumping, you know what I mean, you got your elders and deacons and, you know what I mean, everybody eating well. But I also know you got this unfinished business with dealing with your heart. I know this is probably challenging to you right now, reading this letter. This man has stole from you. He didn't run away. And you're probably dealing with some things that you've been trying to bury. But I'm saying this is how you deal with it. I'm saying, just like Christ forgave us, this is how I'm telling you how to deal with it. Forgive him. Don't worry about the other business owners. Don't worry about all the rest of your colleagues. I want you to stay focused on Christ Jesus. This is a matter that needs to be reconciled. Yeah, this is a matter that can't go unaddressed. Yeah, don't no longer look at this man like a slave. Don't no longer look at this man like a felon. This is now a fellow brother. He's one of us. Yeah, remember how you was before you heard the gospel. Yeah, but this is the issue that needs to be addressed. So long we hear about so many talking about, well, how come ain't nothing ever mentioned in the word about slavery? Because God has been sent his people to address it. Yeah, the gospel. Remember where Paul was. He was going to Rome. We remember about the Roman Empire. Yeah, we remember the Roman Empire fell as well. Yeah, God addresses all situations. He's already spoken about it in his word. God ain't got to speak again. Onesimus. I can relate to being that Paul. I can relate to that prison ministry of being able to touch people with the gospel. Not everybody that go to prison is going on their own accord. And true enough, people do make mistakes. But the power of the gospel has a way to reform. Yes, it has a way to revolutionize the heart in order to change the mind, in order for it to be free. Yeah, this is how powerful that prison letter was. This is how powerful that prison ministry was. Yeah, this Onesimus, the same one. Now he is being accepted back, no longer looked upon as useless. But now he's looked upon as who he truly is, useful. I speak for the prisoner. I speak for the brothers and sisters still locked up. Through me, just like with Paul, we are Onesimus. We are very useful. We are no longer in the bondage with slavery. No matter what the system is, the gospel of Jesus can break it, and he already has. We just got to know the truth and stand upon it. Yeah, we got to have that type of ministry that goes out. Here it is, this runaway. Yeah, this runaway. We remember all the churches that Paul founded. Remember this runaway. This one that was looked upon as a felon, and why he do this and why he do that. The gospel has the power to change things. Here it is. Philemon accepted him as a brother. He broke the stereotype. He wasn't just playing church. He wasn't just in there saying hallelujah, amen. Yeah, it ain't always pretty, but we gonna always remain faithful. This is that Onesimus that they say in church tradition that he went to oversee. Yeah, he became that bishop in Ephesus. That's that church. Yeah, that's that church that Paul had founded. That's that church that Paul was talking about when he was writing 1st and 2nd Timothy. This is the church that he addressed when he knew he was going back to Jerusalem. Yeah, this is that same one. God can use anybody. Don't doubt the prisoner. God has people on the inside as well as on the out. Hearts do change. This is what the gospel shows us through the book of Philemon. Each one teach one, leading the next generation to break down these walls of bigotry and racism and hate, but to build up true love founded on the gospel of Jesus, firm foundation. That's what they had. Mind you, Paul ain't never been to the Colosseum or Laodicea. Remember, they heard his ministry in Ephesus. Yeah, the word is not changed. God sends his people. A perfect example of that Onesimus-Philemon relationship. It's how do we welcome those that are coming home? Let us not get blinded by worldly systems, but let us stay focused on Christ Jesus and have that open heart. That open heart to welcome in. But just because we forgive don't mean that we don't address situations. Onesimus, yeah, he might have did wrong. He took responsibility and he paid his debt. Now let's move forward as brothers and sisters in Christ. This is what the message of Paul was speaking in his prison letter. The voice of the prisoner speaks. Encourage your loved ones that's going through something. A prison isn't just a physical thing. It could be a mental thing. It could be a spiritual thing, but only through Christ Jesus are we truly set free. I pray that these words have touched somebody. I pray that somebody heard something I said this day that the Lord has given me on the speak. Think of ourselves as those Onesimuses and how we know we had to go through some things. But we continue to realize that we are useful and we have purpose. And for those that have that Philemon syndrome, let us not become like Diotrephes and let egos and arrogance get in the way. But let us have that changing heart that we really stand firm and grounded on what the love letter truly is, which is Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank you and God bless. And Pastor, I yield the call back to you.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. What an awesome, powerful word tonight to remind us to show love and to be real and how to really share the gospel. I like what you said. Don't doubt the prisoner, because God will choose to use anybody. And then the gospel changes. So if you're dealing with anything in your life and you're trying to figure out how to make it right, how to change it around, I suggest the gospel. I suggest the word of God. And I suggest being real and showing love. And that's exactly what we heard on tonight, that the gospel changes. And we are those that have to be that change. I was reading the other day, you need to be the change you expect to see. So the gospel must first begin within you. You must first love yourself, love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, and mind. Then we can love each other. Elder Farmer, thank you so much for that word on tonight. We were truly blessed by that word. May God continue to take you deep down into the hidden treasures of his word, that you may continue to reveal, bring forth things to us, that we can see God in a deeper relationship with him and see him in a different eyes, and then to know him like we've never known him before. So thank you so much for that word. Thank you, Pastor Sherelle, for opening us up in prayer tonight. It has been so good, so good, so good. And I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. I saw someone was saying the gospel changes. Yes, the gospel changes. The gospel changes. It changes us. The word of God changes us. And then we help bring change to others. So the word of God does change us. Amen. And we help bring change to others. So let's continue to show love and be real. Let's continue to give God all the glory and the honor that's due unto him, because truly, 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 he's worthy of all praise. And until next Sunday, please tell somebody to join us, the Light of Portland broadcast, so that they can share with us this good word and this good prayer time and this good time of worship. Until next Sunday, my brother and my sister, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. I encourage you to put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand, having done all to stand. Guess what? You know it. I love you, and there's nothing you can do about it. Be blessed.
Feel it in this room. Oh. Holy Spirit, move. 'Cause when you have your way, something has to break. Tear down every lie, set the wrong thing right. 'Cause when you have your way, something has to break. Something has to break.
You've been praying.